I received a lot of emails after Gilad Shalit was freed to discuss in a 10-minute halacha shiur about prisoner exchanges in halacha. Just al derech hakdama, it's important to realize. I know personally, and I'm sure all of you also, when I first heard the news that he was going to be freed, I was driving down Peninsula Boulevard. I mamish had to pull my car over. I couldn't see through the tears. I was hyperventilating. It was just the emotion that you have that after davening for someone for 5 years, that they're going to be safe and that they're going to be okay, certainly physically going to be okay, and Amir Tashem hopefully psychologically should also be okay. You know, that's overwhelming, and that's a no-brainer. That's a non-starter. The question that we're going to be dealing with, though, is not whether we should be happy that he's home. Of course, we're happy that he's home. And Adrabba, it's a celebration that he's home. There's no question. The question that we're dealing with is, if we were in the unfortunate circumstance of having to be Prime Minister Netanyahu, and we had to face similar types of decisions, would we make that decision? Meaning, is it the right decision to make? And whether it's the right decision to make or not, we're thrilled that he's home. The question is it the right decision? Is it the right decision to make? There is a Mishnah Maseches Gittin on Daf Mem Hey Amud Aleph. The Mishnah says, "Ein Podin Es Hashvuyin Yesal Kedei Demayin Mipnei Tikuna Olam," that we don't redeem captives for more than their value, presumably their value on the slave market, because of Tikuna Olam. So what does it mean, Tikuna Olam? We don't overpay for prisoners. Why? Tikuna Olam. So the Gemara has two possibilities what Tikuna Olam means. Ibayilu, Hai Mipnei Tikuna Olam, Mishum Duchka Ditziburahu. Is Tikuna Olam simply that it's going to be an undue stress, financial stress on the community, if the community, in addition to supporting yeshivas and mikvahs and shuls and everything else, also has to support for freeing captives? Or maybe the Tikkun Olam is not about the financial stress on the community, it's that if we make it a very appealing business to go into, a very lucrative business to go into, the business of kidnapping people, so then it's going to cause more people to be kidnapped, because people will be moser nefesh to try to kidnap people when they know that they could make a killing off of it. Not a killing; it's the wrong term to use. When they know they can make a lot of money off of it. So we don't want to encourage more kidnapping. So Gemara tries to prove which opinion is correct. Tashema de Levi Bardargo Parka Labarte Betleis Ralfi Dinari Zav Amar Abayi Man Leimelon de Beretzel Chamav Dilma Shlav Beretzel Chamav. That Levi Bardargo redeemed his own daughter for Tleis Ralfi Dinari Zav, which apparently was much more than she was worth. So the Gemara says, why? Because it was privately funded. So apparently the whole Tikkun Olam issue was only that it was going to be an undue burden on the community, and that's why it was mutter for him to do it. The Gemara says, no, it's not a raya. It was his daughter who said that he asked a shayla. He probably just redeemed his daughter because it was his daughter. He didn't ask a shayla before redeeming his daughter. So what are we paskin la'alacha? Which is the concern? So the Rambam in Hilchos Matnas Aniyim Perches Halachi Beis writes, "Ein podin as hashruyim b'yesr al demein mepnei Tikkun Olam shelo." The Rambam says that the Tikkun Olam is that we don't want to encourage kidnapping. Shulchan Aruch in Yerdeah Simin Reish Nun Beis Siif Dalid Ein Pod Neshuim Yosem Gdei Demeim Mepnei Tikkun Olam Shelo Yu Aivim Mosrim Atzmam Aleihem Lishvosam. Again, Tikkun Olam, we don't want to encourage more kidnapping. Anything that we do that's going to encourage more kidnapping, we'd rather leave the person kidnapped than to encourage more kidnapping by overpaying in order to let the person out. Whoever says that there are several exceptions to the issur of paying exorbitantly, and keep in mind, the whole discussion in the Gemara is paying money. Paying exorbitantly does not mean putting lives at risk. It means paying money. So the Shulchan Aruch says there are several exceptions to where you're allowed to overpay. Number one, based on Tosfos and Gittin Daf Mem Hey Amud Aleph Dibra Maschil Delo, if you're being poda yourself or your wife, where it's Ishto Kigufo, then you're allowed to pay more than you're worth. Meaning, if I have $1 million and I'm only worth $10,000, but I have $1 million and I'm captive, I could tell my captive, let me free and I'll give you $1 million. I'll overpay for myself. That you're for sure allowed to do. For yourself, you're not expected to buy. It's very lucrative to capture rich people then. Still, we don't expect a person to not redeem themselves. You're allowed to redeem yourself for way more than you're worth, Shulchan Aruch says, based on Tosos. Also, Tosos Sachs Gittin Daf Nunches says that if a person is a muflag b'chachma, you're allowed to pay more than his actual value. That was the Meisel with the Maram Rutenberg, where he was held captive, and the Maram sent word from prison that any money that was collected to redeem him should be returned, and that it shouldn't be used, because he'd rather remain in captivity than have the community overpay for him to be released. And in fact, he died in captivity, and they ended up paying years later to get his body to get his body released. Now, some say, oh, it's a raya against Tosfos because Maram Rutenberg didn't allow himself to be redeemed. No, Maram Rutenberg probably was being machmir on himself, but Tosfos still stands. There was the application of that of that shita was the 1970 hijacking of the TWA Airlines, when Rav Huttner, Zichron Levracha, was a passenger who was held captive, and some of Rav Huttner's talmidim wanted to get together and put money together to redeem him, to bribe the terrorists to let him go. So Rav Shechter writes in Be'ikvei Atzon that they consulted with Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, and Rabbi Yaakov said that even though Rav Huttner is a muflag b'chachma, even though he would have the status of a muflag b'chachma, still you're not allowed to do it, because you're not allowed to overpay, to support the enemy in a time of milchama. And Rabbi Yaakov was of the opinion that Medinas Yisrael, since 1948, has been in one constant state of milchama, and you're not allowed to do anything to help the enemy in the state of milchama. They haven't been fighting wars every single second, close to it, but not exactly every single second since 1948. There's never been a single moment since the founding of the state of Israel that all of Israel's neighbors were okay with the existence of Israel. And that means, so if it wasn't actual wars, at every moment there's plotting for the next war. So that means that it's a constant state of milchama. That's Rabbi Yaakov held that you can't do anything to help the enemy in a time of milchama. Third exception Shulchan Aruch has, if the captives are in mortal danger, if there's mamish sakana that they might get killed, not just that they're going to be held in captivity. That the Piskei Tshuvin Yardeis in Reishon and Beis, Sivkat and Dalit is not so sure that that's really an exception. He quotes the Eish Avram in the name of the Tshuvas Nachlus Yeshua, that when there's Ikal Amechash L'Ketala Podin, you would be Poda even for more than the person is worth, when you have to worry about the fact that they might get killed. And he quotes Tshuvas Yad Eliyahu that disagrees. He says, no, even at Omid the Hariga Ein Podin Yosem K'dei Damav, even if the person might get killed, we don't overpay for a captive. Major Machlokas discussion in the Piskei Tshuva, whether that exception is legitimate or not. Fourth exception Tosfos has in Gittin Daf Memhei is an interesting one. He says it doesn't apply after the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, because paying a ransom isn't going to have any effect on future kidnappings anyway. Tosfos writes, because anyway they're out to get us. So if the enemy is going to, they're going to be kidnapping us one way or the other. So by overpaying, you're not encouraging more kidnappings, because that's what they do. They kidnap us. That's what they continuously do. So you're not encouraging more by paying more money. They're going to do it anyway. They hate us and they kidnap us. That's just what they do. So you're not going to be encouraging anything more. Interesting exception to the rule. Now, very important, the Gemara wasn't deriving this halacha from Pesukim. The Gemara was applying logic. What was the logic of the Takana? So you now have to carry that logic forward to our current Metzius. So Rabbi Gil's students is the only one I saw that put together a nice outline of the various shitos in terms of overpaying for captives. I disagree with some of his conclusions, but in terms of his organization, he did a phenomenal job. So he just pointed out that in terms of current contemporary prisoner transfers, you have a few different ideas. Number one, Rav Yehuda Gershuni, quoted by Rabbi Bleich in Contemporary Halachic Problems, Volume 1, says that in today's prisoner transfers, there's another concern, that the prisoners to be transferred very often, as in these cases, are known terrorists who say bepemale that they can't wait to go back to their murderous ways of killing other people. So now that obviously makes it much worse. The Gemara was talking about overpaying money. Over here, you're putting other lives at risk in order to release a prisoner. Rav Avadya Yosef was quoted as having said in relation to Entebbe in 1976 that the danger to, that even though you're right, you might be putting more lives in danger, but the prisoner's life is definitely in danger. So you have Vade Sakana versus Suffix Sakana. The Vade Sakana beats out the Suffix Sakana. When a prisoner's life is Vade in danger, other lives might be in danger. It's Vade versus Suffix. In Aseh Lecha Rav, Rav Chaim David Alevi argues that the entire discussion is based on which transfers can occur encourage or discourage future kidnappings. Meaning, in a case where Hamas is saying that yes, this is victory for us, and that's why it allows us to it shows that we were right, and we'll continue to kidnap more, and we'll get all of our people free that way. So that's obviously going to be much worse. However, the Rav Halevi does suggest, maybe based on that last exception of Tosfos, that if they're doing it anyway, and that's their plan anyhow, whether you give in to them or you don't give in to them, that's what they're going to be doing, so then maybe that's a heter, maybe that's a reason to believe that it would be okay. Of course, according to Yaakov, there's no question that it's a Shas Milchama. You're giving 1,000 more soldiers to the other side in the Milchama. That's absolutely out of the question to do something like that. Rav Shaul Yisraeli has an interesting svara. According to the Torah Shebaal Peh journal, Chelek Yud Zayin, he says that just like there's a halacha we said before that I'm allowed to redeem myself, Tosa says, and Shulchan Aruch says, I'm allowed to pay exorbitantly to redeem myself. Let's say I took out an insurance policy. There is such a thing in South America, someone told me, that they take out insurance policies for Pidyon Shvuyim to redeem them in case you get kidnapped. I take out an insurance policy. The insurance company is going to pay $10 million for me to be freed. Is the insurance company allowed to pay that? So it's pashut that they're allowed to. Why? They're my shliach. I hired them. It's the same thing as redeeming myself. So let's say it's not an insurance policy. It's just an unwritten understanding between me and the IDF when I join the IDF that my government is going to do everything in their power to let me free. So are they allowed to overpay for me? So then, says Rav Shaul Yisraeli, yes. That's the same thing as me overpaying for myself. Part of my agreement to join the IDF is that they're going to do whatever they can to let me free. That's the same thing as me redeeming myself. But even according to this, it doesn't seem to work in terms of a prisoner transfer. Because let's say I decide that I want to redeem myself by putting other people's lives in danger. Is that okay? Now, I could decide to overpay for myself. I can't decide to put other people's lives in danger in a very direct way. To overpay for myself where maybe they'll kidnap more, yeah, that may be. But to actually let dangerous people out on the loose and put other people's lives in danger because I want to save myself, that's not so pashut at all that you're allowed to do, and therefore it's not so pashut that the IDF is allowed to do it for you either. I think the large majority of poskim would assume in this situation, I spoke to Rav Shechter, also thought that it was obviously halachically the wrong decision. He said he heard from the chief rabbi, the current Ashkenazi chief rabbi, Rav Metzger, that it used to be that it was a great morale booster for members of the IDF to hear that their government will do anything for them. But nowadays, it's really reversed itself. Most of the members of the army feel that what am I risking my life going door to door combat to capture these guys when next day they're just going to be released? And you know, what is this? The soldiers are apparently not very much behind it. There are major petitions going on where soldiers are signing on that if I get kidnapped, I don't want to be exchanged for prisoners. So it seems that it's not a morale booster for the IDF, and Rav Shechter thought therefore for sure it should not be acceptable lahalacha. Again, doesn't change the excitement and the joy of having Gilad Shalit back, nor does it change the fact that his parents did what a parent should do, to do whatever they can to advocate for their own child. But in terms of strict halacha, is this the appropriate thing to do? It seems pretty clear, according to pretty much every opinion out there, that it's not a halachically acceptable way to get a prisoner back.